Welcome to Combox. Jared and Warren here to talk about was it Argentina versus Cayman Islands game, I think, was on today. In fact, I haven't got the final score. I will actually go and check that later. But also, we might dip into the World Cup final because, Warren, India have won by a astronomical amount of runs. Like, it really was just a huge victory, right? One of the... one of the more dominant performances I think we've ever seen in a World Cup final.
I feel like watching Indian fans today just sums up how Indian fans... I was watching the final with my parents, right? My mom's like, they needed like 118 turnovers. And she was like, oh, they could still do it. I'm like, I don't know if I feel comfortable. I'm like, the game was done after the first innings, mom.
What? We had Deepak. I mean, Deepak's doing it live in the Hindi channel. He was just like, oh, they've sent Hardik in. This is where they're going to lose the game. And I was like, they've already won the game, guys. What are you talking about? Do you know how many things have to go right for New Zealand to be able to chase this? It was remarkable. But it's kind of been that kind of tournament, right? Like, Indian fans have gone... Oh, here's Bayram as well. Indian fans have kind of gone out of their way to be like, oh, I don't know if this is working. Or England have got an extra rest day. And South Africa's great. I'm like, yeah, do you know what you guys have? The best team. Hey, Bayram.
hello, guys, and congratulations to all Indian viewers and listeners. They have become the first team to win the T20 World Cup 3 times and also the first team to defend their T20 World Cup title. What a big day in Indian cricket.
And the first home team to defend it, right?
True. Yeah.
As a home team won a World Cup before?
No.
Yeah, that's pretty big too. It's weird, isn't it? Because ODI cricket's been dominated by home teams, really, over the last few years. And then, weirdly, the T21 hasn't.
Yeah, it is rather odd. But look, the best team won it in the end. We were saying it from the start that this is India's World Cup to lose. And although they were shaky throughout, they had the perfect game in the final. Save the best for last.
I was thinking that too. I just finished my piece. And I was thinking that basically, this is probably the game with the fewest weak parts. Like, if you look back to some of the other games they won, like Namibia, they gave away a bunch of wickets in the middle, which was a bit odd. And Netherlands ended up scoring way more runs against them than any of us really understood. And, you know, obviously every other game, there's been little moments. This is the one that they absolutely crushed from beginning to end. I mean, at the end of some of those games, like the Pakistan game, we realized it wasn't as close as it felt. But there were still times where you're like, India's not really firing here. Whereas this one, it was like, the biggest complaint you could have is that the ball went soft and that they didn't instantly come in and all hit it for six.
I mean, the game peaked with the three.
I mean, look.
Nishan's over was probably the last time.
Yeah, three wicket over for threat level 93. Gotta love that. But look, another thing that India have done.
I mean, one of the worst overs we've ever seen, by the way.
Yeah, full toss wickets and whatnot. But yeah, look, India have also broken the Ahmedabad hoodoo. Because since losing that semi final in Adelaide versus England by 10 wickets, the only two ICC event games that India lost were in Ahmedabad versus Australia and South Africa. Today, they've broken that hoodoo as well. And I mean, a 96-run victory is as comprehensive as they could have hoped for. And this was just dominated. This entire game was dominated by India from start to finish. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it really was. I think if you go back, the power play almost ends the game, right? Because at that stage, you need Seifert and Allen to do a very similar thing without the kind of backing behind them. So unless Seifert was going to do the Sanju role and Allen was going to do the Allen game from the semi-final, it almost needed to be the combination of the both of them with the way that their middle order's not been really firing it in the same way. And so it was away so early that the Nishan over where he gets the wickets with what, a half tracker, a full toss. Was it two full tosses
two
or
full
a wide
tosses,
or whatever it was?
I think it was two full tosses.
Yeah, two full tosses and a half tracker. I was going to say some of his worst bowling, but he did actually manage to bowl a lot worse in the final over. But
his first over was good, Jared. That ball to Sanju, which he hits.
Yeah, no, he started bowling really well. But just the last two overs, even if one of them got the wickets, it was a bit all over the shop. But the point being is that, like, that was the stage where if they'd somehow got it to 235, you think now they could bat normally New Zealand and they still have a chance of winning it. Once it gets over 250, just so many things have to go right. Like, you know, you probably need, as I said, need the two openers to go off and then you need Phillips or Chapman to go nuts as well. And you look at this tournament, they really haven't had those kinds of innings over and over again, right? And there's just so many options, right? Like, Varun Chakravarti's had a shit tournament And he's the leading wicket taker. Like,
I think Bumrah's on par with him now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Bumrah's
over
there.
Yeah, well, still, sorry. He's only equal leading with a shit tournament.
Yeah. But and I just want to bring your attention.
Bumrah was in form.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about India's performers, but let's just spend a little bit of time on Jimmy Neesham once again. Vidya Prasad over here with the Super Chat says, threat level 93, Jared, 3 wickets, 1 run, burn. Absolutely. It was really bizarre. We really enjoyed it because after his decent first over, he comes back to bowl his second over, gets 2 wickets off full tosses, then is on a hat trick after getting sky off his last ball, ends with a 24-run over with figures of 3 for 46, and he was New Zealand's best bowler as well. Like, you can't write this stuff, right? You cannot predict it either. I thought that was one of my favorite moments of the game because it was just...
probably the best bowler, right? I think he's probably the second best bowler.
I mean, Akshar is great as well.
I think the fascinating thing for them is that if I'm New Zealand and I look back on this tournament, I'm probably going to be the most annoyed with my frontline bowlers, right? Ratchan has gone absolutely beyond anything that you would have believed. Glenn Phillips had a really good tournament at times. I know he got smashed in the death, but the fact they were bowling him at the death tells you how much they were trusting him.
Yeah.
Neesham got hammered a few times, but also bowled some decent spells. And sometimes he's the sixth or seventh bowler on this side and was still having good games, right? And yet, the rest of their bowlers probably haven't quite stood up the way that they have wanted them to. You know, Duffy was in and out of the side. Lockie, I thought early on, showed some good form. Hasn't really worked. And Matt Henry, you know, got some decent wickets, but probably never had the big spells at times that they wanted. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about Neesham. The real question here is why they went in with 2 new ball bowlers for this game and bowled them in the first over and the third over and then the fifth over. Right.
It was weird.
Perfect. Very good super chatting there.
Yeah. Rahul Srinivas says New Zealand's power play tactics for the ball were off. Agreed, because they started with Henry, which is good.
Putting it nicely, then, I think.
Yeah. Very, very off, I suppose. But Henry obviously should have bowled the first over. And then I thought the tactic to bring on Glenn Phillips for the second over was smart because off spin versus Abhishek. He goes for 5 runs in that first over that he bowls Glenn Phillips and then he doesn't feature again. And New Zealand in the power play, which was a big error by Mitch Santner, went Henry, Phillips, Duffy, Lockie, Henry, Duffy. That was just bad. Bad, bad planning. And they conceded 92 runs in that power play for no wicket. And they bowled all 8 of their wides in that power play as well, New Zealand. Let's not forget.
Yeah, it was all over the shop. Simon Toole, of course, saying the boffins are telling me to do this. At all of our boffins in the group were going, why are they bowling wide slower balls? Like, it didn't make any sense to any of us, right?
They bowled Henry bowls length at Sanju's body. It was working very well. And he decides to bowl everything but that to him again.
Yeah, and if you look at that lineup at that stage, like the month Duffy comes in, you're thinking, okay, maybe they'll still use Phillips for one over, but you want to load Duffy and Henry as much at the front as you can because neither of them are particularly good death bowlers either, right? So if you're going to play both of them in this side, they have to both get access to the new ball. You made a decision on Phillips. I probably wouldn't have done that, but I get why they did that.
Yeah.
And then they brought Lockie on for the fourth over. So realistically, it should have been Henry in the first, Henry in the third, Duffy in the fourth, and then you make Lockie bowl the really tough ones at the fifth and sixth anyway. It doesn't make any sense what they did. It was such a bizarre thing to go with, and they were so far behind in the game at that point.
Yeah. Bozozi says, should New Zealand have given another over to Glenn Phillips at the power play? He only gave 5 runs. Also, why did they not bring back Lockie after 3-wicket Neesham over? So the way I would have gone about it is Henry, 3 overs in the power play on the trot, continue to bowl length and try to get the ball to nip. I would have given Glenn Phillips another over in the power play just because of India's top order left-handed batter's weakness, apparent weakness versus off-spin. So the fact that Phillips only concedes 5 runs in that power play over, I would have given one more to him. And
which over,
Duffy,
though?
Yeah, thing now, is that I wouldn't have played Duffy.
You can't just say you give him another over. Which over would you have given
I would have
him?
Given him the fourth over. I just wouldn't have played Duffy at all.
So if you do that, you can't, then what's the point of picking Duffy in the side?
Exactly. I don't think that was the right call.
But my point is, once you make that decision, you have to play Duffy. So I don't think that's the issue with not having Phillips for another over. Phillips next over would have gone for 20 anyway. But the issue with not having Phillips in that over, right, is because they picked this other thing and then they didn't follow through with it, right? So they've stuffed themselves up a couple of times with the way that they've gone about that. And look, it got away from them and Abhishek can do that. And Samju's obviously in ridiculous form at the moment and everything else. It's not the reason they lost, but they were certainly way further behind in the game than they needed to be at that point.
Yeah, I think New Zealand got the tactics slightly wrong in terms of selection as well. India had to go unchanged. We were echoing that sentiment and they did made the right call to go unchanged. A lot of people wanted Varun and our man Abhishek Sharma dropped. Well, Abhishek silenced those crickets well and good. But I think that McConkey, even though in hindsight he might not have been of much value, perhaps it previous or before the game started, I thought they should have brought in Jameson for Neesham. Now, Neesham is New Zealand's best bowler, so that's easier said than hindsight. But I would have kept McConkey, brought in Jameson, and not have had two new ball bowlers in Duffy and Henry. That's what I would have done.
Isn't Jameson a new ball bowler? Jameson's
a new ball bowler as well. That's the problem. Yeah. I think the bigger issue is Jared, they basically only have new ball bowlers, and they don't have anyone who can bowl at the death.
So, Jared, a question to you is, if you had to bowl Glenn Phillips, would you have given him the first over? Because Henry's not a swing bowler. He's a wobble ball bowler, so he doesn't really need the first over swing boost that a traditional swing ball bowler would need. And that would still
he's
mean...
He's just taken...
Once Glenn Phillips bowls
so many
the
wickets
over,
in the first over, though, hasn't he?
That's also fair.
Yeah. Mm. I think in a World Cup final... look, and we've seen the opposite, right? We saw England against the West Indies back in 2016 go with Joe Root against Chris Gayle. I don't mind a matchup, but I think if your main strength is new ball bowling, and it's literally... how you have won so many games at World Cups over the years, and it's how your team is lining up, I think you just have to go fuck the matchup and that situation. And you just have to back the fact. If they think Duffy's good and they thought him good, he was good enough to play in this World Cup, there's no point Duffy playing, right? And then taking it over away from Henry, and then both of them ending up at the back end of the power play, right? It's just, it's a bad use of resources to have them bowling the fifth and sixth overs when you really want them at the start. So I'm not massively against it. Also, Varun, it's one of those things. If Phillips bowls that first over for five runs, the new ball is actually not that scuffed up, right? Yeah. And so you can bowl Henry, Duffy, Henry straight afterwards if as long as Abhishek doesn't start bouncing it off grandstands, right? You can actually get away with it for a little while. So look, a lot of this is in hindsight. But I just think if you're a new ball, I thought that was one of their big threats was their ability to take new ball wickets, and they kind of took it away from themselves.
Yeah, I mean, look, after the first two overs, India were 12 for no loss. They end the power play at 92 for no loss. So in the four overs after the first two, New Zealand concede 80 runs. Lockie Ferguson bowled two overs in this game. Both went for 24 runs, right? And if you look at India's innings progression, the game was done in the power play when they scored 92 for no loss. But then they slowed down, right? In the 10th over, India were 127 for one. Then in the 15th over, they had accelerated big time. They were 203 for 1 in 15, and we were thinking, oh, is there an outside chance they get to 300? They kind of really blow it in those death overs, apart from that last over by Neesham, which goes for 24. Shivam Dubey scores all 24 of those runs, and India end with 255 for 5 in 20. And I mean, realistically, this was never going to be chased down. You don't get, you know, lightning to strike twice with England almost winning the previous game in the semi-final. And New Zealand were what, 52 for 3 in the power play and 88 for 5 in 10 overs? India had more runs in the power play for 5 less wickets in there than New Zealand had in 10 overs. So you have to factor that in.
Yeah, this was my mom, basically.
We're just talking about Indian fans being nervous. So and others, like my parents saying, were worried when they needed 122 in 6 overs. Deepak say something like that in the semi-final as well, where he was like, this is when India lose games. I was like, when? What are you talking about? Like, are you talking about something from the Desert Storm? I tell you what, if a cricket fan brings up the Desert Storm while India is playing a current game, you need to say, go sit in the corner. Stop being involved.
I think India was a Zimbabwe choke. I'm like, what game was that? I'm like...
Also,
stop mentioning Sharjah or Kenya.
You have to consider the fact that, in the words of Robbie Uthappa, India were patchy throughout and they were still winning games. The one game in which they were awful, they lost. They didn't need to have perfect games to win their games in this competition. And they have the perfect game in the final. And it was fitting because India were the best team. And this was the sort of day that they hoped for in 2023, right? The drone show was on point. I don't know if you guys caught a bit of that. But... I mean, it's a big day.
Did you see what, who was it? Was it Simon Dool was saying when Shivam Dubey dropped that catch that India didn't get a chance to prepare any of their catches beforehand because of the whatever show they were putting on. Which is, it's a really interesting one because like you don't get a chance to warm up correctly under the lights. And that would have been the same for the New Zealand batters as well, right? They wouldn't have had, not that all batters have throwdowns beforehand, but they wouldn't have had a chance to have any if they wanted any. Yeah, look, I think when it comes back to it, what you said before is the right way of looking at it, of that they were obviously the best side and, they haven't really showed their form. It's a good game to show your form. And I don't know, is this similar to Australia in 99, perhaps, where you have a similar situation where it's kind of patchy all the way through, and now at the end we think of them, you know, and but by the time they got to the final in 99, Australia looked like the best team by a considerable distance in that tournament, but they didn't throughout the rest of the tournament, right?
That's a fair comparison. Harshit Sharma over here is asking, does this remind you of Australia versus India final of 2003? Maybe if you look at the final alone, but the campaign, not so much. I'm with Jared over here. Maybe more 99.
There's a couple of slip-ups in that tournament, wasn't there? But, you know, they had the one against New Zealand, one against Kenya. Yeah, I suppose maybe he's not that far away. But the semi-final was pretty dominant as well, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. They beat... I know there was a little bit of rain and maybe made it seem a little bit closer, but I thought they were pretty dominant there.
The semi-final was Sri Lanka, I'm misremembering.
Yes.
Yeah.
The game where Gilly walked when he wasn't out.
The game where Gilly walked because he thought he was given out.
I think that's the game. Is that the game with the fastest wicket bowled ever? With Brettley bowls it. It's the fastest ball to get a wicket or something like that.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN. It might have been. Yeah, they were just a long way behind in that. So I suppose it's a little bit different than that, Arsh. Also, they made it, you know, Australia made their run a lot easier, right? Like they had that game against against Kenya in that tournament where they kind of almost stuffed that game up. But it didn't matter, right? Whereas India made this tournament so that India have lost one game and yet still made it so they had to win the last three games to win. Like they put themselves into a position that was really, really tough in T20 cricket. So what are, you'll know this, Varun, do they win about 74% of their games, 76%?
Well above that, I think. It was like 80 something before this.
Yeah, that's really, really high. So to get yourself into a position when you're that good that you need to win three games in a row is actually, you know, I think it shows that they're a little bit up and down at times in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite fascinated about the thing that you brought up earlier about the light show and whatever preparations or concerts they were having prior to the game, which didn't allow the teams to kind of have a bit of a throwdown or have some fielding practices. Generally, the fielding was really, really good in this final. I know Dubey drops Finn Allen on zero, but there was some brilliant catching by Ishan Kishan in the deep, Tilak Verma in the deep. Hardik drops Santner when the game is done on 26, and then he also has a misfield. But overall, really, really good fielding game for India, and I thought New Zealand might have been even better, right? New Zealand were splendid in their ground fielding. There was one Rachin misfield, but Daryl Mitchell stopped a couple of boundaries. And there was only one drop catch for New Zealand as well, which was a really tough catch for Finn Allen, right, when Tilak was on zero. So the fielding standards, as bad as they have been throughout this tournament, I'd say they were top drawer or as close to top drawer as we could have asked for in the final.
It'd be interesting to go back and see how many runs New Zealand actually saved on the boundary. Like, we don't keep those stats at Combox, unfortunately, but CricViz would have them, I'm sure. But it would be because they could have scored more, right? Like, there were so many times when they were running around the boundary and I was like, well, they've saved it. Oh, okay, they've saved this one again. So, again, India, dropped 8-9 catches in this tournament? Like, quite a lot, you know, basically a catch a game. Which, again, if you're the best team with batting and bowling, doesn't mean as much. You know, it's the sort of thing you don't want to drop that many if you struggle in you know, batting or bowling a little bit more. But it's still, I think their catching percentage was around 65 to 70%. Last time someone was mentioning it, you would expect it to be a bit higher for a team who was in great form, right? But they weren't quite at that level all the way through. I mean, they just made several, you know, little mistakes.
But
they
also 15, Jared, 15 drops this tournament, I believe. The last time we checked.
Was it 15?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so maybe even higher than the percentage I said before. But I just think all the way through, there was that sort of scratchiness, right? There was that sort of one player carrying them at times and everything else.
Yeah.
But that's also when you have a team this good where Abhishek only needs 40 minutes to win you a game, right? Where Bumrah only needs one over to win you a game. That's the position that you can get yourself into, right? Like this isn't the 2007 Australian campaign, right? Where they just steamrolled everyone and went all the way through. This was a much different kind of campaign. And maybe it was also a little bit more like a back-to-back, right? Where teams have kind of understand a little bit more, right? And they're willing to be like, yeah, these guys are really good, but they're going to come really hard, which gives us opportunities.
Also, prior to the tournament, we kept mentioning how India barely had any weaknesses and, you know, they had all bases covered. And this was, and I think it probably still is, the greatest ever T20 team to be assembled. That's just how good India are. But we identified fielding as a weakness and power play bowling as a weakness. And in the knockouts, India's fielding was far superior than the opposition team, or at least really, really on a high level. And they also figured out the power play bowling towards the end. I thought the plans were good. And they used Bumrah really, really well. I know we're going to talk about him later. So I think from a strategy perspective as well, India problem solved right towards the end and fixed those few issues that they had.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get like a huge amount of wickets from Ashdeep at the end, right? So it's not as if the power play bowling suddenly started going, you know, slicing through the opposition. I think moving Bumrah back to the fourth over, it's just what you want, right? It makes so much more sense, and it gives them a flexibility as well with the rest of their lineup, the way that they want to use it. Whereas once they use him early on, I think people like me and Varun start to get nervous because we're like, well, this doesn't stretch in the same direction.
Talking about this with Rob once, right? It's you never want to, like, what do you call it, telegraph the Bumrah overs. And that's what I think they did very well, because there are times he's coming in the fourth over, the times where he's coming the fifth over. And they did a very good job after that. The problem is, I think we saw in the South Africa game, once the two Bumrah overs were done, South Africa could just chill because they know he's not bowling till the death, right? So that's where...
There's something to be said if you're not a genuine new ball bowler, the later you bowl, the better. And it's what Afghanistan did with Rashid Khan at his peak, right? Yeah. Which is hold him back and be like, you guys are going to have to keep going hard against Gulbuddin Naib. Right? Like you're going to get whoever we're throwing out there, you're going to have to score two or three runs and over quicker than you think, because you know we're going to shut down the end. And I think that India is at their absolute best when they play a similar style, right? When they basically say to you guys, yeah, okay, Hardik is going to get wickets sometimes and he's going to get hit sometimes, and Ashdeep isn't always going to be on point, and we're going to have to throw one of our spinners up to the top. But you know that the game is going to change when Jasprit comes on or when Chakravarti was informed, when Chakravarti comes on. That just makes every decision you make as a batter completely different, right? Because you're almost playing for the overs in the future.
Yeah. When you don't play Kuldeep in that lineup, it allows for better utilization of Jasprit Bumrah. We've also mentioned this plenty of times prior. And that's why I feel like India's first team, even if people were failing at times, did not need to be tinkered with. I did think that they could have gone with Kuldeep in the semi, but that wicket didn't end up offering much turn anyway. So that's fine. And I think India stuck to their guns. They followed the process. And ultimately, their faith in their starting 11 did pay back heaps.
Yeah, I mean, also, I wrote this in my piece before. What's the backup top three? Suryavanshi, Gill, and Jaiswal?
Yeah.
If you're New Zealand right now, would you take that?
Yeah, dude. If you're anyone right now, you'd probably take that.
And that's with Seifert and Allen going nuts, but you'd still think to yourself, yeah,
I mean, you still got also have three, guys though, like Uttaraj and Sai Sudarshan who are not in that top three, which you just mentioned.
Right? So and it's the same with Kuldeep. What other team is Kuldeep not playing in here?
True.
Right? You know? So, you know, the ability, the incredible talent pool that they have is just ridiculous. As far as I'm aware, you know, India did not need to open a bowling with Marcus Stoinis in this tournament.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a very big difference between this team and everyone else. In fact, the only thing you would say is probably the third seamer, they're still a bit up in the air with, right? Like, and maybe if they play on different surfaces, that will come in a little bit. And also, why the fuck did we have to see Shivam Dubey bowl a fucking ball in this tournament?
That'll always be valid, I suppose. Just for New Zealand, though, I know that India steamrolled them in the final, and sure, Jimmy Neesham might have picked up three wickets in that over. But the only other person who really turned up was Tim Seifert. Like, I expected New Zealand to at least cross the 200 mark. I knew they were never chasing down 256. But, you know, the surface was a bit of a belter. It was a mixed soil track, and it was batting friendly. So England showed us that if it's a batting track, you can go toe-to-toe, but New Zealand don't have that same kind of firepower. And Seifert was kind of alone today. 23 ball 50, 52 off 26. And you'd have to say, what, that's the third or fourth best knock of the game. Is that worse than all three of the Indian 50s?
I mean, it was a good knock, but
if you just mean 50.
By the time he crosses 50, the game's over.
I think if you just mean 50, it's probably just better than Samson's up to the point they get 50, but might not be the whole entire innings.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Look, I think when it comes down to it, there was a lot of players in this tournament for New Zealand that overperformed at times that helped them win games from nowhere, right? But they also, how many good teams did they beat in this tournament? They beat South Africa. They lost to England. There's someone else that they lost to that they shouldn't have. They beat Sri Lanka, who wasn't it very good.
They lost to South Africa. They beat South Africa.
Okay, so in this tournament, they've ended up in a final, but they've lost to the three other best teams, teams, right? The other three semifinalists as well. Yep. I know they beat one of them as well. But I think there were at times in this tournament, whether it be Finn Allen, whether it be Ratchan Ravindra, right, whether it be Seifert, Glenn Phillips, they probably had a couple of guys who just had, outsized impacts on games. But there's a lot of guys, when you look at that lineup, who didn't really have much of an impact on this tournament either. Right. Yeah. In a way that probably wasn't quite the case. Now, England had a similar kind of lineup, right? Where you're just like, they could still win because there's these four guys and we don't know what these four guys are going to do. Mm-hmm. Right. But it also shows that eventually it was going to be found out. There was always that possibility because they hadn't been a consistent winner all the way through the tournament. Mm-hmm. And that there were times when you'd be able to do that. If you're comparing Hardik Pandya to Ratchan Ravindra, Jimmy Neesham and Glenn Phillips, which lineup would you rather go in with your fifth bowler as, right? Yeah. Like there's no argument there of what,
but funnily enough,
the difference between the two.
Funnily enough, Jared, all five wickets fell to New Zealand's fifth bowler. Ruchin got
Abhishek. Yeah, but they both chip balls, mate. I mean, we don't talk about that sort of stuff on Combox because it means fuck all.
I mean, when Ruchin
took first ball from Ruchin Ravindra was the worst ball I've ever fucking seen. And I honestly, if I was Abhishek, I would have reviewed it because I would have refused to be dismissed off that delivery. I would have said, no, you're going to have to bowl it again.
I'm sorry.
That's shit. It was a half volley wide. It was just dog shit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure he was trying to bowl that delivery, by the way.
Yeah, so Jared,
you've got Sky's ball, where it's just like
New Zealand in the power play. They've been pretty shit in the power play with the ball. I'm just looking at their power play numbers.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I said that before. I said all the way through the tournament, I think they'd be a little bit disappointed. I mean, they came in thinking that Henry and Duffy would be the sort of the axis.
What was it? The first time in their life, they were probably the most attacking team going into the final with the bat, which I don't know when it was the last time it would have happened. Would it be with Baz in 2015?
Yeah, 2015, I would have thought, wouldn't it?
2015 is probably the most attacking New Zealand team that I've seen in an ICC tournament. But also consider the fact that we always talk about New Zealand being a process-driven team who have exceptional planning. They don't optimally use their resources today. They fuck up the power play.
So, I mean, we talked about the power play as well, but let's just go back to when Simon Dool was blaming people with clipboards instead of blaming the bowlers who were bowling shit deliveries. But they've decided to bowl wide slow balls, but they weren't in control of them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Henry could barely hit the pitch. I'm not sure that Henry even has a really good slow ball, right? So why are you getting him to do that? You've then got Lockie, who gets hit twice, and you just decide not to bowl him again, which, again, I get it. He went for a Shivam Dubey amount of runs in his two overs, right? It was a ridiculous amount of runs. I'm sorry, he's Lockie fucking Ferguson, guys. Hmm. You're going to have to bowl him again. You just have to, right? Yeah. So I do think for a team that planned and thought about things a lot, a lot went wrong. But again, New Zealand has to do all that, whereas India, according to Deepak, India made the worst decision in the history of cricket when Hardik Pandya came out to bat. But I think I said in my piece, okay, it's like being on the Titanic, guys, the Indian batting lineup, right? You're on the Titanic and there's lifeboats everywhere as the Titanic's going down and you're complaining that that particular lifeboat isn't as comfortable as another one that you want to get in. I get it, right? We can make it slightly better for you. It can be more comfortable, but when it comes down to it, it doesn't fucking matter because as long as you have enough lifeboats, that's all that matters, right? And that's kind of what India's batting lineup is. It just fucking goes on and on.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with Pandya coming at four. I thought that was a good entry point for him. Yeah. I actually would have done that myself. But just a question for you guys before we go on break. I don't think this was a toss-dependent game because the pitch was a flatty. But if you were Mitt Santner and you had won the toss over here, would you have chased versus an Indian team that can outbat you in this game? That's a bit of a tough one, right?
I think the pitch did change during the game. And I don't know if that was just when the ball went soft, but India couldn't hit boundaries at the end. So I don't know whether I agree with you that the pitch didn't change at all, right? Mm. And so it's very possible that when New Zealand went out, it was different. Again, I don't think it's a toss-dependent game. I would agree there. I think they, when it comes to New Zealand, they have two massive strengths. It's Matt Henry with the new ball, and it's Seifert and Allen.
I
don't think there's a mistake going in either direction, but you could have, if you wanted to have an argument, I suppose the argument would have been, well, is Matt Henry in as good form as Allen and Seifert are in, right? Well, how many runs have they scored between them? About 500 runs in this tournament, right? At a pretty good strike rate. I think you could have made a pretty good claim that that is the stronger thing. But also on the other side, if you're picking Duffy, right, you probably think to yourself, well, okay, we've got Henry and Duffy. Let's go. Then you don't bowl them.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got a super chat along the same lines from Bozozzi.
This is the super chat. We're talking about the super chat.
Yeah. He's asking the same question. And I think it's better or easier said in hindsight. But at the time, I didn't see any issues. I did not think this was a toss-dependent game. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, we have a lot of super chats to take yet. So before that, we will be taking a short break. You guys are watching Combox Live with Jared, Bairam and Varun. And go nowhere, because we will be back very, very shortly.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I have been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about bat. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
Welcome back to Combox Live. You guys are with Jared, Bairam and Varun, and we are currently reviewing India's 96 victory, thumping victory over New Zealand in the T20 World Cup final, which they have won and defended their title. Now, let's start off with the Super Chats, and whoever is manning the Super Chats, please get rid of the ones we've already taken so that I can see the numbers decrease on the right-hand
they
side.
They won't decrease.
They will not. Not today.
Yash Palmer 5794 says, feels like New Zealand just gave up after the fourth over. The game was done in the first power play.
I didn't really feel they gave up until they were batting, really. Mm. I think once they started batting and they got behind, I think they kept going. They fought back a couple of times, but they played a better team.
Yeah. Akshu 835 says, just wanted to give you guys a shout out for the coverage this tournament, especially to Bairam for doing almost every game. Been more enjoyable than the tournament at times. Thanks a bunch, buddy. We appreciate it. And this is just the start at Combox.
Yeah, exactly. But a huge shout out to everyone who's been on the lives and, whether it be commenters and everything else. But Bairam is the spine of these lives. huge thanks to him.
Cheers, buddy. Prithvi says, my boy Abhishek reminded everyone what it does to a team when he's good, but also why did New Zealand feed him pace? Why did New Zealand feed him width would be my question, because he loves to free up his arms on the offside.
Well,
but
width is the big plan, isn't it? That's the new plan that we were told that he couldn't handle anymore.
Slow balls, which were wide. That was the plan.
How bad is he against off spin, Varun, honestly?
Not before the World Cup, he was great versus it, wasn't it?
That's what...
Yeah.
Because I saw they put it on the screen at one stage and I was like, is that really a thing? Because I'm sure we've done analysis on it before. So, look, they fed him pace because they're a pace bowling side and they had part-timers. And also, they didn't really want their off-spinner bowling to the right-handers either. Like, this Indian side is very... Have a look at what happened with England, where Liam Dawson basically can't play in a game because Shivam Dubey's out on the field. This is what happens to you when you go up against them, because they have so many different people who can hit so many different kinds of bowling.
Yeah, even Dubey's cameo today was brilliant, but he also took down Adil Rashid, right? Forget Liam Dawson, but he kind of whacked Adil Rashid.
Yeah, but Liam Dawson didn't bowl. Liam Dawson bowled one over in that game and never came back again.
And he
that's
shouldn't
way
have
worse. Yeah, but that's way worse than getting bowling and getting hit.
True. Phoenix 4977 says, most successful regression to the mean ever for Abhishek Sharma. We kept telling you guys, you do not drop someone like Abhishek Sharma. Again and again. I got so much flack for it online.
I was very nervous.
Everyone was telling me.
Today, I was like, okay, he does not look great. Then he hits that, I think the off drive last.
I still don't think he was in good form. Yeah, that shot over extra cover, long, wide.
I was like, that's what I'm looking for. He's in now.
But you go back and have a look at that shot, because I've done it for the feature piece. He's still not in control of it, right? But it doesn't matter, because of the way he swings the bat, he just gets away with these things. And look, guys, if you're going to try and score at a strike rate of 250, guess what? If you're sick, you may not be able to do that for a little period of time. And if you're out of form, you may not be able to do that. You've just got to trust, because in a game like this, he only needs to bat for, well, as we said before, half an hour to 40 minutes. And the other team can't win. That's why you pick it.
As I was telling Bahram, as good as Sanju is, he doesn't have the free gear that Abhishek Sharma does.
We quoted you on definitely. Pro Sports as well. Yeah. Vihir had another super chat over here who's making a case for Abhishek to have won the Player of the Match award. I kind of see the logic, because if you ask me, Abhishek Sharma was the best batter in this final for me. 18 ball, 50, silenced his critics, 52 of 21, and he kills the game in the power play. So I can see the logic why you would want to give him Player of the Match. Yeah, that's also sound logic.
As much as I love Bumrah, like, the game was done by the time Bumrah was taking wickets, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Did he get it for the 4 for 13?
He did get it for 4 for 15.
Okay. I don't give a shit about
finals, and like one of Sanju or Abhishek should have gotten it today. They got the order wrong. I think they were like,
I would have given it to Abhishek, man. The fact that he had so much pressure on him, everyone wanted him out of the side, and then he comes and delivers this, you know, kind of Abhishek coded knock. This is exactly what he's known for. He doesn't even need to get to 50, guys. He was 30 of 12. That was job done for Abhishek Sharma. Yeah.
He was like
right?
2 of 5, wasn't he? Like, he front foot defense Glenn Phillips. I was like, okay. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Anyway. I just don't care about players of the match. And I think that you guys have to realize that the people who really care about this, or really care about who the best player of the game is, almost never vote on these things. It's handed over to commentators late in the game. They don't even remember half the game. It's an absolute joke, and you really got to stop caring about it, because promise you, the people who make these decisions,
as everyone says, it's significantly biased towards batting.
And anything biased towards batting is generally bad.
Smash the patriarchy, right? That's what I say. But Rob Barron, tell all of this stuff to Rob Barron, because he keeps betting money on Player of the Match, and then he complains later after.
No,
how he does it.
But he makes a fortune off Player of the Match, because it's one of the few betting markets where you can't use an algorithm. Right, so he's just going up against a kid on the other side, a 22-year-old who does maths, suddenly has to decide of like what odds a player is for Player of the Match. And Rob just absolutely takes him to the cleaners every time.
Yeah, anyway, RP with a super
and then complains when it's not the right player.
RP asks, Santner in the press conference said he didn't mind breaking a few hearts. He did break hearts of people who wanted a competitive match in the finals, didn't even try. What else is he supposed to say in those press conferences, buddy, that I would lose the game to keep the hearts?
Also, like, what do you mean he didn't try? Of course they tried.
Yeah.
Like, who was watching that game thinking they weren't trying?
I mean, people often confuse lack of trying with being shit, right? I think they were probably not that great, but they were still trying.
Yeah, they were definitely shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good game for them.
Prakshit Patel had a similar question just around Santner. Kshitij Mittal asks, Kiwis ruined the final by taking South Africa out. The perfect final might have been India versus South Africa, because those were the two best teams, but you can't take that away from New Zealand, right?
And they smashed South Africa. Ahmedabad semi-final, because they played here so much.
Yes, they did have that Ahmedabad edge, absolutely.
South Africa should have fucking won their semi. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's how it works, right? Yep. Like you're right. Those were the two best teams. I would have had them matched a lot closer. I think I had India as about 75% chance of winning this game. It might have been 65% if South Africa were playing, but they didn't fucking make it. Like, that's cricket. You've got to be, you've got to win your games when you have to. And India won 3 on the trot when they had to, right?
Exactly. 4 on the trot. Count the Zimbabwe one. Why not?
I'm not.
Bharat Raj. Sure. Yeah. Bharat Raj says, do you think it's unfair match between bat and ball? Generally, I'm not a massive fan of flat decks, but we did only see 2 games at the end, which featured like very, very high scores. It's okay. It was the same pitch for both teams. No issues.
Compared to IPL, this is still quite a low-scoring tournament. It's the highest-scoring tournament in World Cup cricket, but it's still not that much of a high-scoring tournament. A couple of the games got some runs in them at the end. I'm not complaining about that. The bowlers were on top for a long time in this tournament, especially in the Sri Lanka parts of it.
Yeah. Also, the last edition, which held the record for highest-scoring T20 World Cup, was the inaugural World T20. So we have come a distance in this sport, but I do agree league cricket's scoring rates are still way higher than T20 World Cups.
Yeah, way higher.
Anna Malayne. I hope I've taken your name correctly. Anna Malayne says, elated as an Indian cricket fan, but need something for bowlers. Bring back 170 to 180 games. It becomes a bit boring watching 230 pay to 20 often.
I was going to say, let's have a look here. So it was, the final was 255, so fine. Semi-final was 253. South Africa made 169. West Indies made 195 against the West Indies. Zimbabwe made 153, 212, 159, 256, 176, 168, 164. Like, there were some high-scoring games, there were some low-scoring games. The bowlers were in this all the way through.
That's the best T20 games are. You never want the same thing again and again. And that goes for high-scoring games or low-scoring games.
Yeah. Aditya says, Saklan says, India is changing pitch and innings break.
Yeah, BCCI.
If he said that, I wouldn't be surprised.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it actually changed in the 15th over of India's innings, but maybe he wasn't watching.
Yeah, maybe you're just taking the piss, but I suppose that's fair because Saklan doesn't.
It's also possible he said it, let's be honest.
Yeah, completely possible he said it, right?
That's the bad thing about Saklan is when I see a comment like that, I'm like, oh, fuck, he hasn't, has he?
He's the one who coined the term Kudrat ka Nizam, isn't he? So you can expect anything from Saklan.
He can say anything Ribu he wants Ganguly. After coining that. He deserves it.
Yes. Ribu Ganguly 96 says, our Sanju selfless non-hundred sending an unintended message to the Kohli generation by showing how many titles. Oh, I thought that was something else, not titles. We missed by trying to get individual milestones.
I think it's so, less I don't about think milestone they lose, hunting and more about conservatism.
they didn't lose a lot of titties, did they?
Can I say, someone said this week, and I can't remember where it was. You guys might remember. But someone blamed Sunil Gavaskar for the fact that Indians... Yeah.
Yes, on Twitter, I remember. I think I sent that.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
Guys, I've been following cricket like for longer than both of you, and I'm a historian in the game. Hundreds have always been important. It's only really been the last few years. And part of it is probably
the thing. In test cricket,
because of Australian cricket as well, in that Australian cricket is a little bit more team-orientated because it's more towards rugby and Aussie rules, which are more team-orientated sports, right? But even then, Australians got really, really into hundreds until very, very recently, right? Mm. And then now Western countries are looking at Asia going, oh, look at you guys all chasing hundreds. It's like, yeah, what you guys used to do for the last 150 years as well, dickhead.
Also,
right?
So let's not forget, just right now in that test series between India and England previous year, milestones became part of the conversation. Now, I don't think Sanju missed out on the hundreds on purpose, right? But you got to give it to the guy. His knocks in three knockout games were exceptional. I'm actually quite content with the fact that Sanju Samson walks away with player of the tournament because, look, today was a different kind of knock, 33 ball 50, right? It was the slowest 50. The other two came in 26 balls, but he ends up with 89 of 46. So the acceleration is great. And in these last three games, Sanju Samson has scored 275 of 138 balls with a control percentage in the 80s. He's gone back to back to back. He would have enjoyed a couple of hundreds as well, but he does his job and then some. A lot of people wanted Bumrah to be the player of the tournament, but I completely see the rationale behind Sanju getting that award. I know Jared doesn't care about this, but I think there's no controversy there.
I don't care about this.
Yeah, I think Sanju was spectacular.
To answer this quickly, like they didn't lose because of milestone hunting or selfishness. They lost because of conservatism, as Jared has once in his... Let's hit a whole series on it. They're not the same.
Go back. If you want to have a look, I did it at the end of the 2022 World Cup. I did a 6-part series on why India could be like this now. And why they should be playing like this
now. I want to get 100. He's thinking, if I don't get to 100, there is no way we're going to make enough runs.
Yeah.
There's two different reasons, right?
Yeah. They weren't. It wasn't like they were getting close to 100, slowing down, and that was losing the game. Yeah, that would be fucking wild.
Also, the hallmark of Sanju Samson's three knocks wasn't selflessness for me. It was elegance. It was his effortless batting. It was the way he made it look so easy and almost flawless throughout. He gave that one catching opportunity and that was pretty much it, right? Other than that, there were barely any false shots. I mean, look at the control percentages. 88% versus the West Indies, 86% versus England, and today was 80%, right, Varun? That's insane for T20 cricket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
And today was a different knock. Today, Abhishek had done his job.
I don't think Harry Brook had that control percentage in his test hundreds, so...
Generally, true. We've said that a few times as well. But if you think about it, he was doing Abhishek's job in the first two games in the knockouts, right? Versus the West Indies and England. Today, Abhishek does his job. Sanju takes time. 33 ball 50. Doubles up or doesn't double up. But 89 of 46 is still a very high intent knock, guys. Let's not forget that. Yeah. So he does his job and then some. That all right, we've got a super chat over here with no words. So sorry, Farhan Faki. We've got Siddharth Srikant says, sacking Gautam Gambhir be hard now, so test team go suffer. Yeah, well, now he's going to boast this, right? He's going to gloat about it over and over again.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting because if they lost this, he basically goes. And now he's won it. I don't think that changes it. I think winning it is par. He will try and sell it as not, and there will be a lot of people trying to sell it for him as not. But realistically, so I mean, and this isn't like, I hate Galdham Gambit. I'm just saying, like, as a cricket analyst, I'm like, yeah, you guys probably should have won this tournament, and you won this tournament. You didn't actually play the best cricket to win it, right? Mm. So you still have to fucking win a lot of stuff to keep your job for a while. And I've got, you know, no issue with him as a limited overs coach. I think the issues are more test-based anyway. So that's a whole different conversation, which we did a piece a couple of weeks ago if you want to go find it.
Yeah. If anything, I feel like more all-rounders and batting till eight and left-hand-right-hand combinations work brilliantly for T20 cricket. I've always said that. I've always maintained it. Test cricket, maybe not so much. You got to take 20 wickets to win,
though. Just so you know, Bayram, we have 43. And so one of us answers the question. You just have to move on.
Karthik Udaya says, did Sky prove anyone that captain is only as good as his team, where he spent more time in press conferences than at batting crease in Super 8? You guys take this one.
I mean, sometimes you don't make runs. There are lots of people in this tournament that haven't made runs for their teams. It's a team game cricket, and you only play a few games. So these things happen. We've seen this before.
And he still made more runs than what he did in 2024. So...
All right. Good username doesn't exist says the most annoying of amount of excitement in the second innings was when Ashdeep clocked Mitchell, but it fizzled out immediately. Wish there were headlocks involved. I would have given him a red card if this was football.
To who?
Ashdeep.
Yeah, the thing is, Ashdeep made the best decision any man's ever made in turning away from Daryl Mitchell and walking in the other direction.
Agreed. With the bat in his hand,
that would not have ended well. Yeah, not have ended well with going up against Daryl Mitchell.
Should have just looked him in the eye and apologized straight away. He apologized later, but that's fine. It's not a
Sometimes you do something like that, right, and you're still ticking, and then afterwards you're like, actually, that was shit. And to be fair, I thought him and Sky played it perfectly, right?
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Ronaldo Better says, who enjoys this kind of cricket? Absolute zero for the bowlers. They'll keep producing these kinds of pitches and they'll keep sinking in test cricket. Look at the second innings, man. The bowlers turned up.
There were plenty of other wickets in this tournament, as we've mentioned many times before. Mm.
All right, that guy with M says, thoughts on JB being touted as Bradman of bowling? Ooh, that's an interesting one.
He'd need to average 10 with the ball and go at four runs and over.
I can see being the Viv Richards of bowling. I'll give people that.
Yeah.
I
he might end up still being the greatest all-format bowler of all time, but unfortunately, it's just really hard for a bowler to be like Bradman.
Yeah.
For a batter to be like Bradman.
True. Shreya says, Nisham justifies his threat rating, goated stuff. Yeah, man, threat level 93 should be the name of our group now. I think so.
It's some of the best half trackers of all time. And as a person who's got a lot of wickets with half trackers, I'm all
with
on
that
it.
Name at least.
I mean, two full tosses and a half tracker, three wickets and an over. We'll never forget it. Gautam Dika says, South Africa's defeat, best thing to happen to India. It was like someone slapped us into locking in. We were strolling before. Jared, one cricket book everyone should read. Okay.
The Art of Batting.
Oh, yes. The Art of Batting.
Nice. Golden Boys, incredible too. And The Unquiet Ones, if you want a couple of options there. I think India could have beaten South Africa easy as well. I think South Africa played some really good cricket, but they had plenty of issues going in. India had the best side, guys. I'm not sure it really would have mattered if they found this form.
The batting did just click into place after that. That is probably fair to say.
Yeah, agreed.
It eventually does click, right? I mean, how good was Ishan Kishan? We don't talk about him because two other guys scored 50s, but he's been so good throughout. Clean striker of the ball. 23 ball 50, 54 of 25. I'd actually keep his knock slightly ahead of Tim Seifert's. Yeah.
I love how Seifert's knock just keeps coming back in. I forgot New Zealand batted.
Same. Yeah, Seifert is the fourth best batter in this final and New Zealand's best, so that tells you a story. Adi the Bug Catcher says, I was definitely expecting on Abhishek show in the finals, given that India reached there without seeing a usual Abhishek knock. Varun did okay too. Glad either of them weren't dropped. Agreed. Yep.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting. Yeah, I think I would have felt a little bit more hollow if they'd won while dropping them, right?
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, just because, you know, you've got at a certain point, you just can't, like, you could have dropped Sky like at certain times as well. But you don't drop the best players in the world because of what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a matter of time. And Abhishek proved that today. Rahul Srinivas says, Bumrah the all-format goat bowler. I think so. I think that's the correct answer. Shayan and I had a bit of a kerfuffle on this. Do you guys remember that on the group? Where I was like, yeah, objectively, Bumrah is the all-format, goated all-format bowler because Shayan he's played T20 like, cricket.
You can't say that because it's not the other people's fault. They didn't play T20 cricket.
But I think you have to factor in the fact that he has played T20 cricket, and so that is the only right answer.
I just think that's complete nonsense. Yeah, I mean, as I've said before, I think he has a really interesting claim, but Joel Garner averages about 20 and 18 in two different formats. And McGrath as well, right?
Yeah.
So I just think that's... we saw McGrath play in the IPL when he was about 4 years past his prime, and no one could hit him then. Are we really sitting here saying that Joel Garner or Glenn McGrath at their peaks wouldn't have been good at T20 cricket? I mean, it's just nonsense, right? You're just making stuff up now. Bayram, shut the fuck up.
Okay. Prithvi says, just a Dubey batting appreciation comment. He comes in, hits a few sixes, gets run out between... by the way, in his post-match comment, he said, my role is to hit sixes. His USP is to bash spin. Today, he comes at the death and scores 24 runs off that last over. Not that India needed it, but it is a valuable contribution. And I personally love Dubey.
So. What I loved about what he did was that was a really tough pitch to hit the ball. That ball went really, really soft towards the end. And he got away. I think he got one. Did Santner headbutt that ball over the line? Was it Santner that headbutted the ball before?
Yep.
And then he had another one at the end of the over where he missed it, but he just keeps swinging, whereas Tilak and Hardik just couldn't do it. So that's one of the things I really like about Shivam, is that his stillness really does help him in those sorts of situations.
Yeah. Also, if you want an underrated performance today, man, my man is Akshar Patel. He was the guy. He takes the important wickets in the power play, removes Finn Allen with his fourth ball, then cleans up Glenn Phillips with his 11th. In two power play overs, he's 2 for 18.
In this tournament,
really good, like, fielding in the semis. So yeah, 2 for 18 in two power play overs, brilliant, gets those wickets, and then dismisses Daza later as well to end with 3 for 27. That, for me, is the most underrated performance of this final. Okay, Andy B says, this vintage is... better on paper, with the 2024 group actually had the better World Cup campaign. They bulldozed everyone other than South Africa, who ran them close.
Now, what about the Pakistan
game?
Even USA wasn't completely smooth, right? They lost a couple of wickets, I think, I want to say.
I don't think they bulldozed everyone, man. I feel like they bulldozed New Zealand in the final.
No, they're saying Pakistan's about the
2024. No, he's saying in 2024.
Everyone,
I
thought they were pretty comfortable all the way through that tournament. I think that's probably fair.
I think they were the better bowling side. This is the better final. Batting side.
Yeah, I think I'm content with that. The bug catcher says, I was trying to keep a count of runs today saved by New Zealand on the boundary. I counted until 21. They were exceptional with their ground fielding. And even their catching was good.
Nishan's over stopped 300.
Yeah. The Finn Allen drop catch isn't really even a drop catch, because that ball was a bullet, man. That nearly hurt him. Maybe that did hurt him.
I'm not sure he picked that up at all, by the way. It hit him on the wrist, didn't it? Like, you know, only Rob Barron could have taken that catch.
Yes, only Rob Barron.
Agreed.
Nikhil Makwana says, most boring match this season, no competition. It was kind of a boring final, unless you're an Indian fan, but still some really good arcs, right? Tapan 5 Patel says, last two Bumrah overs felt like net practice. I mean, the game was done and dusted, man.
That's what happens when a game's over. Go back and watch the
it didn't feel 1999 World Cup. Like slow ball yorkers at one point.
Have a look at Australia's innings in the 1999 World Cup final when everyone knows that the game is over. It is so low tension, that game.
Yeah. You're talking about Bumrah's last two overs? Abhishek bowled one, right? So
that was awesome.
Yes, that's classic Sky, by the way. Ryle2706 says, thought Varun would be gushing with emotion today, having watched Samson and Dubey usher in the next few years of CSK dominance. Yeah, Alvaconda, you must be happy.
He hasn't,
and Sanju too.
He hasn't played for CSK yet, so I don't have any CSK connection with him. Yeah.
Okay, well, you've shot that guy down. He was coming in with good energy, and you've just completely pissed all over.
Plus, I don't feel the same emotions after this as I did after 24, because that was after the drought, right? It's like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
They won another one.
I mean, this also, like, I think I wrote in my column there that if you look at it, all things considered, this might be the start of something rather than the the end of something, right, as well. Mm. That's how fantastic this team could be. So you're also, you can't help but look towards the next T20 World Cup at this point, I think, if you're an Indian fan.
The other one, we had, Cheyenne and I, both of us, like, love Virat, and we were glad he won something.
Right? Yeah, there was losses. There was the Virat and Rohit
team,
side
but
of
it's
it.
Like,
the Rahul Dravid side of it. Like, there's a lot of things to like more.
Has Varun said that he loves Virat? Isn't he always on Virat's case?
I love Dhoni, and I'm always roasting Dhoni too. I'm a complicated guy.
Yeah, fair enough.
You are a complicated guy. Everyone
really
says that.
Extremely complicated guy. Rohit Kumar Jha says, Bumrah combo of Bravo and Malinga speaks volumes. Maybe Murali and
Putting
Malinga?
Bravo in that same sentence as those two is a crime.
No. Yeah. I'd go for Murali because the way Bumrah kind of works his wrist and fingers, it's insane, man. That sounds really
like
wrong.
Casual fans overrate Bravo a lot in T20 cricket. I've noticed this quite a bit.
I don't want to say it because I've been called a Bravo hater so many times. But yeah, quite clearly they do. Do you know the great thing about Bravo is that you had someone who could bat in the top six or seven who could also be a genuine top five bowler, right? I think that was the thing that was interesting.
Kelu Sherpa with the Super Chat asks, do you guys think New Zealand was better in the field than India considering the number of boundaries they saved? Ground fielding, yes. Catching was really good by India. I know there are two drops. The Dubey drop when Phil Anand is on zero and Hardik Pandya drops Santner on 26. But it didn't matter, did it? I think India's ground fielding was also really good. But New Zealand were ridiculously good in the field. So yeah, maybe you can say that. Kunal asks, what is Sky doing in this team? Seriously, he's captaining it.
I think they won a World Cup, buddy. I think that's what he did. I mean, not that long ago, he was literally clocking the game
of
cricket.
I'm interested to see if they move on from Sky or not. Or he moves on himself.
That is an interesting question.
I was thinking that too, that he might just retire and
Sai Anvesh says, off topic, but Pakistan is having the national T20 right now, and I feel IPL kind of eliminator and qualify feels good. Then semis and finals, South Africa should qualify. I don't get the last part.
So he wants,
I think,
IPL
what is he trying to say? That we have multiple finals.
Yeah. I think he wants
I did a short video on this yesterday, Sai, where I basically said that when we started in ODI cricket, we actually started with three game ODI thing because they thought that ODI cricket was too random, and somehow we've ended up with T20 cricket with a one-off final, right, and one-off semi-finals. And I personally believe that if India had lost this tournament, I would have said it even louder, but I'll still say it now. Realistically, if we want to know who the best team in the world is for T20 cricket, I don't think you can work that out in a one-off game, right? And I'm fine with it for leagues, but I'm not fine with it because in leagues you play 15 games to get to that section. Whereas here you can kind of have a team like New Zealand sort of not have a very impressive record overall and still go, you know, I don't know, maybe India collapse away from winning a World Cup. And I'm not a big fan of that because I want the best team to win. Not everyone feels that way. A lot of other people like the jeopardy of knockout games.
I like the jeopardy of knockout games. I feel like it works.
Again, you're wrong.
The playoff system is great in league cricket, in World Cup cricket or tournament cricket when it's internationals. I would love play knockouts because you want to kind of add some drama, right? The best team may not always win.
There's still drama.
I wanted playoffs, but like now I'm like, I want chaos. Give me the chaos.
Yeah. I just think also you can make more money off it, right?
That's
like
fair.
It works in multiple different ways for the cricket.
Yeah. Steve Varghese says, all-timer from Sanju, most runs by an Indian in T20 World Cups. Yeah, in a single campaign, sure. But the way he comes into the side after everyone wants him out of the team, he has a few quickfire 20s in this tournament when Abhishek is ill. And then he goes absolutely berserk, three knockout games in a row. Give that man the player of the tournament award. I have no issues with that. Love Sanju.
Just fantastic. And remember just how many people did want him in the side or in the squad. And everything
sign
else.
Or
and this is why we say things like Sky and Abhishek and Varun, because we had the same conversations with people about Sanju.
Yeah,
we did a
podcast. I mean, look,
he's
always been quality.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't be too reactionary, guys. Submit your apology forms. That guy with M says India was arguably the best team in 24. They've definitely been the best in 26. Rohit Sharma and Kohli's retirement has upgraded this team such that Varun and Abhishek could be back till today, even with negative impact. This is the best T20 team that I've seen, and this is better than the one in 24. Just pound for pound, all bases covered. Yeah,
I think if I was picking a team to go up against, I'd much rather the 2024 team was still fantastic, but
I still don't know how that team made runs. Looking back at it,
I just think this team's incredible.
It's a bit like how I feel with this team. And when did they take wickets?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't perform to their full potential apart from the final.
Yeah, it's like Bumrah took 14 wickets. I'm like, when?
Yeah. JSB says, hi guys, I'm Jay from USA. I love your channel and things I learned. Did Sanju have the best batting stretch in T20 World Cup history? 275 runs in 3 matches is absurd level of batting. I think you might be right, buddy. I think that is true.
Yeah, I can kind of back that.
We'd have to look at it. There's the Shane Watson 5-game sample, isn't there, in 2012. And if you're looking at impact, I would say that what Sanju did is very similar to what Aravinda De Silva did in 96 World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Do remember that those 275 runs that Sanju scores come off 138 balls. So that's a strike rate of 200,
right?
That's
incredible.
Yeah, it is a strike rate of 200 on the dot. Damn! Almost.
I think he finished with like 199.37 in the World Cup.
That's it. It would have to be, in the decimals for it to be exact. Span3XT says, good job covering the World Cup, guys. Thank you, buddy. We enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for your support.
Master PPV says, do you want to give some love to Rutchin's catch of Sky? Rob Barron would have been pleased at that one. Yeah, I mean, New Zealand caught well.
Rob Barron doesn't get pleased with catches. He only gets upset.
Nope. Rob Barron expects catches.
Yes.
So Rob Barron will call that catch a drop where the fielder is leaping in front of the boundary and the ball kisses
the
fielder's
the
finger.
One drop, right?
Yes.
Today? Yeah.
He called Akshay's...
So if you remember the Phillips one, when Phillips ran around the boundary, that was... Rob Barron called that a drop on our group, unironically.
I think there was a Tilak
in
one
the semi-final.
He full sends a dive and he's like, Tilak wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah. In the semi where Akshay Patel has a brilliant fielding game and one ball kisses his finger and goes for 6, Barron called that a drop. So, Arnav Jindal says, despite India winning the T20 World Cup in India, it does not feel like the 50-over World Cup, like the high of the women's 50-over World Cup was more than this. It's subjective. You may feel this way. It might feel differently to someone else.
Yeah.
But it's still like, subjective.
It depends on how old you are, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Rhythm Bhargoswami says, how much do you credit Sky's captaincy? Did it even do anything? I don't think they were captaincy master strokes as such, but bringing Akshay on in the power play early today was a good one. And he struck as well, so I'll give him that.
I thought he was fine. I don't think he's an exceptional captain. I think he's quite mellow and relaxed. And I think if I was playing for India, I would probably prefer that than the Virat style, just because there's always pressure on me. But every individual is going to be different. There are probably other people who prefer to have...
Jared just hates Virat again. You know, let's move on.
Well, there are other people who would prefer Virat around, right? But I think if I'm playing for India, I don't need to be pumped up. I'm already pretty pumped up from all the yelling. I mean, we haven't even talked about this. That stadium was incredible with that much blue around the outsides, right?
Yeah, dude. It was an ocean of blue, not even a sea of blue. Seraj Buravar has a super chat, but no words. So sorry if we missed it, buddy. Mm-hmm. Anvish Chamakuri says, myself included, everyone who didn't want Sanju Samson in the team will have to eat their words. Also, kudos to Kumbir for sticking with him. Jared is the GOAT. Love Varun's analysis. Behram is awesome. You're a legend, buddy.
I mean, Sanju's exceeded all of our expectations, a comment, right? I think none of us were expecting this streak from him, I think, as much as we rated
this
him.
Was unreal.
No, because he's never really done this in the IPL, has he? Yeah.
He's not done this in T20 Internationals either, right? There was that 300 streak, and then he just like bunch of those scores. So.
3 games back-to-back is exceptional. I knew he was quality, and I was also saying he shouldn't start because Ishan went berserk, but when he comes back, he solidifies his spot and then some, so that's brilliant. A good username doesn't exist, says, is Shivam Dubey the most unexplainable mystery ever? Shivam Dubey is a spin
basher. I'd say yes. No, his bowling definitely is unexplainable.
Big time mystery.
His bowling.
Even batting, I'm like, why? I feel like he always defies odds and makes runs at times, even when he's not bashing spin.
I think he's pretty clutch, guys. Don't forget the Asia Cup performance as well. Info_no_it says, when I listen to Behram, I feel he is the smartest guy in Pakistan. I see some ex-Pakistan cricketers like this in the 90s. Hope to see India beat Pakistan in final at Expanoti Stadium with Behram as coach. I'm not going to be a coach, buddy. I'm going to be a commentator.
I think it's unlikely that you're the coach. Yeah, I think it's unlikely Pakistan ever beat India again at this point, but it's certainly more unlikely to put Behram as coach. But lovely comment. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I also think I'm the smartest guy in Pakistan cricket analysis. Akagra 007 says, when law of averages worked on Abhishek today, I was kind of worried for Bumrah, but it looks like law of averages works on humans only. For me, Dubey is underappreciated. I think Dubey is getting a lot of appreciation. We kept telling you about Abhishek.
Law of averages for Bumrah, though. He is getting back to being a god again.
Yeah.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. head over and order your copy today. But just to go back to Dubé as well, like the great thing about someone like Dubé is, and I've said this before, he doesn't even need to be successful, right?
Yeah.
Because he completely warps what the opposition teams do just by being in the 11, right? Hmm. They are so terrified of him. England had a number 9 or a number 8, whatever Liam Dawson bats, who bowled one over because they just couldn't bring him on when Dubé was out there. Other players don't have that kind of impact. And it's kind of like if you're a basketball fan, it's like having the world's best three-point shooter in the corner. You don't have to pass the ball to them once in that game, but it warps the entire court having them out there.
Also, just on Bumrah, law of averages does kind of work because he hadn't picked up a 4 for before this, right? 4 for 15 today. And you could say that his bowling performance with South Africa was slightly better. And even in the semi, the way he bowls on that wicket, that was phenomenal. But today, I mean, he gets Rachin first ball like he got Brooke first ball the other day. 1 for 9 in 2 power play overs. Then later, he's on a hat-trick when he cleans up both of... who was it?
I mean, Nisham and Henry? Bowling performances this tournament against the three best teams.
Yes, that's also another thing. Yeah. But yeah, in the end, he just gets bonus bowls, right? Keeps cleaning up guys when the game's over. But 4 for 15 was amazing. He was the player of the final as well. I would have given it to Abhishek.
You haven't mentioned that.
Yeah. Rohit Kumar Jha says, difference between winner and others, largest ever in cricket?
Yes, no, I don't know. Think so. 2007. Is ridiculous, Australia. And South Africa are a really good team. I don't have South Africa as that far behind
India. I think 2016 is interesting because I don't think we've ever had the top two teams be that much better than the rest.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's a really, really good one.
I'll say this, that in the T20 World Cup, for me, this was the biggest gulf between the best and the rest. But I agree, 2007 Australia was just different gravy. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, I can see that.
Arnav Jindal says, one interesting thing about Jared Peace on T20 batters is that New Zealand have small grounds and flattish pitches. They should have more Finn Allen-type batters.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And they used to, right? They've actually started to pull back towards, and I think it's probably having Kane and Ross after McCullum left. I think they've actually gone back towards that style. But it's a really good point, mate.
Yeah. Okay, now we've got Siraj Burewar who says, solid KD Warriors vibes. From turnovers to online reactions to ruining the game for some people, we even have our own Sacramento Kings as neighbors.
Do you understand any of that, guys? Yeah. Does that mean anything to you?
I get it.
What I love about this is that it absolutely shits on the Sacramento Kings as a basketball team. And that's all I want. I want to become a basketball writer just so I can write about how shit Sacramento Kings are.
Yeah. Shardul Divan says, should South Africa have lost to the West Indies just to knock India out? Sometimes a bit of shrewdness is necessary to win. They still had to play Zimbabwe. That's not how cricket works.
Yeah. It's a risky one to do that.
Yeah.
No, they should have beaten New Zealand.
That's what they should have done, essentially. Soham Chatterjee says, median score in India was 172, Sri Lanka was 160. Thanks for that.
What's interesting is, towards the back end of the tournament, we've got a lot more runs in India.
It's the second innings that brings it down.
Usually what happens, Varun, and you would know this, is the scores actually get lower as the tournaments go on in World Cups. Yes. And for whatever reason, it went the opposite way this time.
I think it did in the last World Cup too, didn't it? Mainly because I don't think you could physically go lower than New York.
Yeah, New York kills that World Cup, right? Anyway,
New York doesn't exist.
007 says, Dubé has played 70-20 finals in the last 4 years and won all. 2022 SMAT, 2023 IPL, 2023 Asian Games, 2024 World T20, 2024 SMAT, 2025 Asia Cup, and now 2026 World T20. Yeah, he was a bit of a lucky charm.
What was it? There was a streak, right? At one point he won. He didn't lose like 36 games. He was played in T20 Internationals or something.
Yes.
There's a guy called Robert Horry who played in the NBA who won like a bunch of championships and was a great player himself. Was it 9? Yeah.
9 rings.
But because he did exactly what I was saying before. He was just a perfect player to make everyone else better. And Shivam Dubé is a very similar version of that.
The Robert Horry of cricket. Love it. All right. Hair ties for Glorfindel says, just logging in to tell how I miss cricket with balls. Finding that site was like finding others like me for the first time. Good night. Work very early tomorrow. Good night, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. The Bug Catcher says, it's not a huge deal to win the World Cup with this team. Don't think it says much about Gautam Gambhir as the coach or Sky as the captain, to be honest. India definitely needs a different red ball coach. It is still a big deal, but I do understand where you're coming from.
World Cups are hard to win, even when you're the best side.
Yep.
So I have to give them credit for that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think it changes the needle on him as a test coach.
Yes.
At
agreed.
All.
Agreed. Nehal Kul says, Gautam Gambhir bought some time. India needs a better test coach. I think we've answered this. Let's move on.
I think same thing
Jack
again.
Jack says, The cricketing gods have blessed us with another couple of years of Gambhir. Yay, fun.
How
damn,
are we
guys
in the Gambhir section of the Super Chat?
How are you guys not happy? Anyway, bunch of Super Chats with no words. So yeah, let's run past you through them. Thank you for all the money, guys. Sorry. We appreciate it. Now we've got Yash Singh, who says, I still think India can't win PSL. Amir said that. Oh, Mohammad Amir has been a troller this entire World Cup, hasn't he? Jokes aside, we showed at best on the day we needed the most. India turned up big time in the final. They played the perfect
game. And just to get back to what I said before, it is really hard to win World Cups, even when you're the best side. Ask South Africa. Ask West Indies after 1979, right? You can be the best team and not win World Cups. We have to give them so much credit for the fact that they weren't in great form and they got it together at the right time.
Ask India and Pakistan of 1987. That should have been the final. Neither of those teams made it. Master PPV says, Varun may not have or may have gone for runs, but he took the most important wicket today, didn't he? Hopefully people take that into account and not just the scores.
I mean, Finn Allen was the most important wicket today.
Yes, yeah. I think Akshar. I already
But yeah, Seifert was. Those were the two.
The Buckcatcher asks, between McGrath, Bumrah and Garner for GOAT in his opinion.
Yeah, very fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Dhaval Shiani says, super sticker. Thank you very much for the super sticker. It was a very generous super sticker, so we will appreciate. Pratyush Patel says, what will life be like after Bumrah retires? We'll find out.
Well, me and Rob Aaron have talked about this before. He is such a cheat code that it's you almost want to fast forward his career to see what happens. Yeah. But Australia was still really good after Warner McGrath, right? And so if you're a really good team and you got a really good setup, you should be able to find other talent, but you'll win in different ways.
I mean,
India
might have
what
do you call the Bollinger Hilfenhaus Siddle phase with pass bowling, if that happens.
Perhaps they might have.
I am all here for that.
Jared, by the way, loves Dougie Bollinger, so be careful.
I love
Warren.
Bollinger
he's
too.
Very
he's a CSK fan, bro. I love Dougie Bollinger. He's a cult hero for CSK.
Hey, remember the IPL had Katy Perry on the stage. It's somehow for a World Cup, we had Ricky Martin 25 years after.
And even the two Indian singers were throwback singers. It was like 1999. It was an insane lineup for 1999.
Yeah.
Ricky Martin's keeping quite fit. I'll say that. He's been living the vida loca. Nehal Kul says, Ishan, Dubey, Akshar, all underrated tournaments, silent contributions in different ways, all tournament. Akshar, Ishan, catching clutch. I think we've mentioned that in this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about them.
Akshar's catching
at
the semis
times.
Was great, especially, right?
Akshar's fielding in the semis
game,
is goated.
Him and Bumrah.
Yeah, we did a big feature on Ishan yesterday, or Saturday, on YouTube or on the Substack, so you can go find it.
Yeah. Shreyas asks, the correct way for this World Cup to end was for Dubey to bowl the last over. We got robbed of that. Such a shame.
I disagree. 100%
agreed.
Sky should have bowled the last over.
No, Dubey.
This is the only way to finish it with Shivam Dubey to bowl this over. And also to go for 40
Dubey
runs.
And Sky to bowl the last over. The both things
the
need
best thing would have been that Dubey's bowling the last over and he can't pitch the ball on the pitch and it's continued to become a no ball. That would have been just brilliant. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do we have next? CSSC Matt Shacker says, during the Champions Trophy, I was like, oh God, please win us this trophy. I will never ask you for further. That happened. And in this World Cup, I wasn't expecting a bit from India, but our boys really did that cherry on the cake. Everyone expected India to win this World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nehal Kul says, Sam Curran's moon ball has the best PR in the business. Time to name Jasprit Bumrah's slower ball so it can be spoken about more. Bro gets more dip than spinners. I think Lungin Giri wins the dipping slower ball competition, guys.
I was going to say, the thing with Bumrah is he hasn't invented anything new.
Yeah.
Sam Curran invented something new. We're not sure it will stick around, though.
Yeah.
Right? Glenn McGrath started with the split finger slower ball. Almost no one bowls it anymore. It's much better to be just a great bowler than to be remembered for one delivery, guys.
Which, by the way, is Estelle's favorite delivery because she saw Dilara Fernando bowl it first. And that's another story for a different podcast.
That's a quick pick throwback. That's deep cut.
Vimal S. Menanti says, diminishing marginal utility.
I have always thought that. That was the name of my autobiography.
What was it? Like, yes. That's economics, isn't it?
Move on! Stuart McGill throwback. Not a throwback, actually, just a shout out. Akshu835 says, feel like the low energy of this final was summed up when Ravi Shastri botched calling the winning moment in the final.
Oh my God, he did.
He called Surya Kumar Shriya at the toss. Okay.
Did he, I mean, to be fair to Ravi, some of those guys, him and Ian Smith, right? And Sunil Gavaskar, these are really legitimately old people, right?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the ICC keeps you know, putting a lot of pressure on these guys to work late into the nights and everything else. Like, they're going to make mistakes. And they're, you know, they were obviously all brilliant at various things during their career. But you also, if you go back and you look at a lot of those events, if you lose the tension, it's actually much harder to be smart and snappy and nail the line, if that makes sense. Mm. Where it's much easier to do that when Carlos Brathwaite's doing something great or that, yeah. you know, by the barest of margins. Mm. When I say this as a commentator, sometimes when the game's over, because mentally you're the game's already over, mm. right? Whereas when it's tight, you have not, you know, I did the last hour and a half for SEN during the 2019 World Cup. We were banging that last hour and a half because everything was happening in that World Cup yeah. game, right?
Yeah, this one doesn't really matter because the game was over so early. Zero Yuvraj says, will India do the Real Madrid Champions League three-peat? Haven't they technically done a three-peat if you count the Champions Trophy?
Absolutely fucking not. Take no that out of your mouth. What is okay. going on with Bayram today?
What about the Women's ODI World Cup? Can we count that?
No.
That's a okay. different...
There's a different...
That's a gender. That's a different,
team.
There's a different team. Yeah. Yeah.
They're a different gender. Look at Varun.
Hey, I'm underslept, guys.
Indeed.
Kunal says, Bayram should replace Sky. He will be more useful.
Okay. No, I don't. I disagree.
Yeah. Laguvaloon, or Laguvalin speaks, says, winning a World Cup is bloody tough. Winning back-to-backs is legendary. This is not the end. India needs to win more in Senna. I want India to match West Indies 70s, 80s, and Australia 2000s. One thing I will say is that in this volatile format, I mean, to win back-to-back World Cups is impressive.
Yeah. I think the West Indies one's fascinating because they win 75-79 and don't win again, right? And I know he's talking about everything here. But as far as World Cup goes, whereas Australia's is remarkable, right? And it's a shame Australia didn't take the Champions Trophy seriously because they probably, and even the early T20 World Cup, because they could have won so much.
All right, hey? Sorry to cut you guys, but my battery is dying. I have a baby to take care of. Congratulations once again.
Congratulations, buddy. To
India. Thank you. And congratulations to all Indians as well for winning their third T20 World Cup and back-to-back. So bye-bye. See you guys. Jared and Varun will take the rest of the Super Chats.
We'll finish them up. Off. I've got hungry children coming through. Next question, Varun.
That's right.
Next Super Chat. Dutch says, campaign to stop these silly laser shows. Agree. I didn't actually pay that much attention.
I didn't care.
I don't know if it was good or bad, to be honest. Silver says, Jared, which is more tough, to win the ICC World Cup or the IPL after 10 teams total? Not talking about pride, but competitiveness.
I'd say like,
the IPL is really interesting because you go into almost every single game with a pretty, both teams are pretty similar yeah. chances of winning it. And so you don't get that very often, but you play an IPL every year. Right?
The other
Whereas
thing is,
World Cups are a little bit
different. I know some teams are richer than the other, but still the poorest IPL team is probably going to be much richer than the poorest international team, aren't they? In terms of resources, so that's the other thing.
So I do think that from a competitive point of view, you can make an argument each way, but I think the extra tournaments means that eventually you'll probably stumble onto winning one, whereas I don't know if you stumble onto winning World Cups.
That's fair.
RNS says, ring light stadiums impact drop catch stats. They can, but to be fair, we're seeing a lot of drop catches everywhere now in night cricket. I really do think, and I don't know if we have great data for this, but I really do think the difference between day catching and night catching is way more than we ever thought. And what we are seeing now is so much more cricket being played specifically all at night.
Also, right? What we and don't know is our balls going higher in the air and they're being hit harder. Right, that's the other thing which we don't know.
I mean, they are. We do kind of know that, don't we?
We know they're being hit. I don't know how high they're going. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Gaji says, thanks for covering the World Cup. Hope you guys will cover the Women's World Cup. Yes, we'll be back for that one. We'll be back for the IPL, the Women's World Cup. Depending, we don't know how Combox will go, as in what will happen next. But there's a lot of big things that are coming up very, very soon. But Women's World Cup, certainly a big part of that for us. Siva says, at least now we get to celebrate our win with actual trophy after winning the multi-national tournament, unlike Asia Cup. All right?
Oh.
Cool. Well, trophies are important. Saint says, should ICC final events have a halftime show like the Super Bowl? They did! It's just that no one cares. No, yeah. I think for cricket, it probably makes more sense to have it the big one beforehand, right? I'm more than happy with that. But also, if Kendrick Lamar wants to do a halftime show,
also wouldn't
I'm
the Super Bowl equivalent be the IPL halftime final?
It's the same with either, though, isn't it? You could do it with either. But yeah. JSB says Hornets, Wizards, and Pelicans are worse than the Kings. Over a long period of time, I don't know if anyone's worse than the Kings. They shouldn't exist as a basketball franchise. They should be thrown into the ocean. Yet says, are you excited for Mexico versus Suriname coming up? I'm waiting to finish this show so I can go check some other games coming up. If anyone can give me the Argentina Cayman Islands score. what else do we have? Isaac says, would it have been so one-sided if New Zealand batted first? Look, as we said before, man, I think New Zealand were like, what, at best, a 1-in-4 chance of winning this game.
Yeah.
Right? Whether you bat first, bat second, whether Matt Henry bowled the extra overs, blah, 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 it's still tough.
The only way they probably win is both their openers have a good day and both Indian openers are shit, right? Like, unfortunately for them, this almost the opposite happened for them.
I kind of thought what they needed was India to be shit bowling in the power play and to have a fairly major, not a substantial, but a decent collapse. I thought those were the two things that they needed. So I wasn't worried too much about the toss.
We have one more.
Ezio says, Ahmed Raza was great this World Cup, standout all-rounder of this World Cup. In the last match, he threw an Usman Tariq special, complete package. I didn't expect the last Super Chat to be Ahmed Raza related. I just want to say a huge thanks to everyone at Combox for putting this together. I think this is the most exhaustive coverage we've ever done of a World Cup before, certainly that I can remember. Hopefully the Hindi show's finished. The Hindi show's probably still going as well. But you now have the ability to watch Combox on this channel in English. You have the ability to go to the Hindi channel as well. Obviously, Robbie was really busy, and then some things have gone on in Dubai, so we couldn't get Robbie on as much, but he will be back again very shortly, especially when the IPL's around. But a big thanks to presentations take too long, learn from the NFL. Yeah, you don't have to watch them. A big shout out to everyone behind the scenes, you know, people like Rakshit, Muku, Vignesh. I don't know if Shubo was working for us as well. I'm sure he was, but everyone else behind the scenes, if you haven't seen them on the camera, they are still helping us out all the way through, people like Ari and CS. So it means a lot to us that you'll come. But we do this all the time. We don't just need World Cup games. We can do this about all sorts of random things. So please help and support us the way that Master PPV has, but says, do you have any idea how the pitches in LA will play? Is it also the first time in a long time the international tournament will be played on one ground with game after game? I know that I talked to some of the people who were organizing LA, and they're really worried about the pitches because I think they didn't quite factor in how bad the American pitch, the New York pitch was going to be. And now they're like, oh God, what if we end up with that for the Olympics? And I think I could say this for me and Varun, we absolutely want that because we prefer it to have more chaos. Thanks to everyone for watching, liking. Please, if you've never subscribed to Combox, subscribe now. Find us on Instagram, TikTok, Substack, Twitter, and you can find Varun hiding in the corner of his room. And we'll see you again very shortly for more cricket content here on your Combox. Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.